Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is Monday afternoon, January the 24th. Ordinarily, we do Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week on a Friday at the end of a broadcast week. We decided to try something different and see about doing it at the beginning of the broadcast week. Nothing else has changed. We still have four soundbites to play for you. After we've played them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Tell us which of the soundbites should be soundbite of the week and why. Your reason is very important. And it's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an Ad Crucem keepsake. No, I'm sorry. It's a Luther Rose medallion now from Ad Crucem. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MY-IE. We need to know who you are, where you're listening, and most importantly, why you're voting for that soundbite. Here's soundbite number one, Pastor Heath Curtis with two cautionary tales of online church.
So my buddy's at a big church in a pretty big town in a very heavily Lutheran area. They gained 24 members all in one big confirmation class from the ELCA church a couple blocks down the road. But it wasn't women's ordination that brought them to the Missouri Synod. It wasn't all the crazy homosexuality and transgenderism that's infected the ELCA. It was the fact that their local ELCA parish shut their doors for 55 weeks because of the pandemic. I think it just sent a meta message that church is not that important. We are more afraid of catching COVID than we are of not gathering for worship. And eventually that message, you know, actions speak louder than words, that got through to a lot of people. I know lots of our congregations have online stuff, and a lot of guys are very excited about their online stuff. And there's no doubt that the online stuff has been a blessing in many ways in many places. I don't want to discount that. On the other hand, boy, there is something important about keeping people in the habit of physically gathering. And there's something just literally more real about it. There's literally something more sacrificial about it. And I'll tell another anecdote from a buddy of mine who serves in my own local area. He said he was visiting one of his older gentlemen, you know, lifelong member. But he went over to visit him a few months ago. And the guy just looked at him and said, "Pastor, what are you going to do to ever get me back in church?" And he was kind of jesting. "This online church is awesome. You know, I sit on my couch. I pour myself a cup of coffee. I don't have to take a shower. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to leave the house." If I was at a congregation that was really relying on online church to serve my people who are still very COVID cautious, I would really be rethinking how I'm approaching this at this point. Because again and again and again, I see a real dark side to the online worship in terms of how do we get those people back to living an authentic Christian life in the flesh.
That's soundbite number one, Pastor Heath Curtis with two cautionary tales of online church. That could be soundbite of the week. It needs your votes. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Here is soundbite number two. It comes from Pastor Hans Feeney. He's responding to parents of children who have fallen away from the faith.
Obviously, the first thing is recognizing that God loves your children more than you do, and that his ears are not deaf to your cries, and to recognize that there are and will be plenty of people in the kingdom of God who were brought in because God in his mercy overcame the faults and the failings of their parents. And so it's good and right to confess your sins, to recognize where you taught your children to love the world more than they love the gospel, and that you repent of your sins, and then you fall on the mercy of Jesus, and you recognize that every day that they are drawing breath is a day when their Savior wants them to come home. And because of that, you keep praying for it earnestly, and you trust that in the end that all things will be worked to the good and to the glory of God.
That's soundbite number two, Pastor Hans Feeney responding to parents of children who have fallen away from the faith. If you'd like that to be soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, via Twitter at issuesetc, or just send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Scott Klusendorf. How Roe took the issue of abortion away from the people.
Roe v. Wade took the abortion issue away from the executive and legislative branches of government and assigned it solely to the courts. In other words, in Roe v. Wade, the justices said, we alone here at the federal bench will determine substantial abortion policy. You at the executive and legislative branches, which speak for the people, have no say in this. If Roe and Casey are overturned, it's going to return the issue to the states, meaning the people, through their elected officials, will get their voice back on the issue. And that means, Todd, pro-life Christians have to be equipped to defend their case persuasively, because now we get our voice back. And one of the first things we're going to hear is a resurrection of this tired old argument that we heard the justice say during the oral arguments that, oh, that's a religious view, therefore it's not valid here. We can't have that. We should utterly reject that.
Soundbite number three, Scott Klusendorf, how Roe took the issue of abortion away from the people. Vote for that one on this Monday afternoon, January the 24th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Get ready to vote, because we're going to play soundbite number four. And after we've played it, we'll take a break. And the break is a good time to give us a call. 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's soundbite number four, Pastor Will Whedon, why Christians begin worship singing psalms.
Well, I like to think that we are informed from the scriptures about how we are to do this stuff. So if you think about Psalm 81, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery, blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the appointed time of our solemn feast day. This is a statute for Israel. So you get this idea of the taking psalms in hand as you actually approach the Lord's house, which they certainly did. We know we have an entire section of the Psalter called the Psalm of Ascents, right? I mean, psalms that you sing on your way up to the house of the Lord. And when this comes to fulfillment in the church being the real temple, well, then it just made all the sense in the world to pick up the psalms and carry them with us as we begin the liturgy. We begin by taking God's words on our lips and singing them.
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Will Whedon, why Christians begin worship singing psalms. You've heard the four soundbites. Now it's your turn. Your votes, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us that email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet @issuesetc or our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Will it be soundbite number one, Pastor Heath Curtis, two cautionary tales of online church? Soundbite number two, Pastor Hans Feeney, responding to parents of children who have fallen away from the faith. Soundbite number three, Scott Klusendorf, how Roe took the issue of abortion away from the people. Or soundbite number four, Pastor Will Whedon, why Christians begin worship singing psalms.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Now that you have packed away the Christmas ornaments and chrismons for the season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off and they're being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. See Ad Crucem's beautifully designed Christmons, together with our book describing how they fit into the church year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Pastor, what are you going to do to ever get me back in church? This online church is awesome. You know, I sit on my couch, I pour myself a cup of coffee, I don't have to take a shower, I don't have to get dressed, I don't have to leave the house.
It's good and right to confess your sins, to recognize where you taught your children to love the world more than they love the gospel, and that you repent of your sins, and then you fall on the mercy of Jesus, and you recognize that every day that they are drawing breath is a day when their Savior wants them to come home.
Roe v. Wade took the abortion issue away from the executive and legislative branches of government and assigned it solely to the courts.
And when this comes to fulfillment in the church being the real temple, well, then it just made all the sense in the world to pick up the Psalms and carry them with us as we begin the liturgy.
We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's your turn. We have played our four soundbites, and now we need to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, which is an Ad Crucem Luther Rose medallion, an I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. 1-877-623-MYIE. Let's go first to Illinois, where Catherine is listening. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Pastor Wilson. How are you?
Very well. Which one are you voting for?
I am voting for number one. Although sometimes online church can be good, and over the Christmas holiday, I was diagnosed with COVID, and I couldn't go to church, and I was watching online. I missed being there. And I would much rather be there, especially during Christmas. It is being with the people, being with your friends, being with the family. It's just that much better.
Catherine, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Illinois. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Steve listens in Wisconsin. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Happy Monday.
You too.
I will also vote for soundbite number one by Pastor Heath Curtis. We actually highlighted Pastor Curtis's episode in our Sunday Bible class and weekly email, and I will actually be sharing many of his points in our Board of Elders report to our Voters Assembly this evening, especially the importance of gathering around God's Word and sacrament and to be where God promises to be. This has been an agenda item at each of our elders' meeting all during COVID, so So that's why I will vote for that. And thanks, and keep up the great programming.
All right, Steve, thank you very much, and thanks for listening there in Wisconsin. Also in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, is Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I am voting for Pastor Feeney. As the mom of two adult children who have, let's say, sometimes wavered, at least to my eyes, in their faith and practice, it's always been a struggle, the parental guilt, the parental regret. Not for me to save my children, but of course, when you see that happen, there's just no escaping that sense of guilt. And my pastor has said to me in the past, God loves your children more than you do. Now, that's kind of hard to fathom, but it is a great example of just how much, you know, Jesus loves us. And so I took comfort in Pastor Feeney. I'm glad you had him on that topic. And I encourage, you know, parents to listen to the whole episode. And whether your children are young or old or somewhere in between, there is something to be gained there.
Sarah, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kenosha. Here's Gerald in Canada. He says, I will pick soundbite number 4, Pastor Will Wheaton, for his enthusiasm, the trumpets, and beginning God's word and singing it. Gerald, thank you. Dennis says, you guys have really made it tough, in my opinion, between Pastor Curtis and Pastor Feeney. Pastor Curtis, because I see this happening within so many churches, including my own. Pastor Feeney, because as a parent and a grandparent, I pray often for my children and grandchildren that they may keep the faith. I'll pick Pastor Feeney's because it touches so deep and personal with me. Dennis, thank you very much. Michael listens in Natoma, Kansas, voting for soundbite number 1. COVID is leading to a major change in churches across the country. Most churches will lose members who have broken the worship habit after prolonged absences. Those who remain will realign themselves with churches that more accurately reflect their views. A generation of church movement will now occur in a period of 3 years due to COVID alone. Michael, thanks for listening in Kansas. Mark listens in Brown Deer, Wisconsin. He says, my vote this week is for soundbite number 1, Pastor Heath Curtis. As someone who grew up unchurched, it has been exceedingly difficult to get to a point where weekly gathering is a norm. In honesty, I still haven't mastered it. Each week worship is missed. It becomes easier to turn Sunday into another Saturday. The morning, once centered around the divine service, quickly and easily becomes time to shop for groceries or run errands. Self-promises to watch the stream service later and attend worship in person next week fall by the wayside. A week becomes 2, then a month, then 6 months. Before one knows it, they don't miss hearing faithful preaching or hunger for the Lord's Supper. Faith weakens and withers exponentially as time goes by. It can be very dangerous for some. As Pastor Curtis said, it can be a blessing as well. Thanks be to God for the adult confirmands he mentioned. Also, those without faithful Lutheran congregations nearby have never been better served as COVID-19 led many congregations to stream for the first time. Also, those looking for a church home, knowing ahead of time which congregation preaches faithfully, retains the liturgy, and embraces our rich hymnody, have made doing so easier than ever before. That said, these are not a viable long-term substitute for gathering weekly, receiving the gifts in person, and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Mark, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Wisconsin.
Hello, this is Mary from Earlham, Iowa, calling to register my vote for Soundbite of the Week. My vote this week goes for Pastor Heath Curtis' 2 cautionary tales of online church. Yes, yes, yes. Authentic Christian life is gathering for worship. Amen, Pastor Curtis.
Thank you for your vote. Sam in South Carolina says, hello, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff. My vote this week is for soundbite number 1. In 2020, I was really impressed by the theological inconsistencies of 2 churches in my area. First was my own LCMS parish that shut down hard and was too fearful to do any sort of scaled down service or even personal pastoral care for months. They instead opted for online services only. On the other hand, my Southern Baptist pastor friend opted for continuing in some form and staunchly refused to go online. His reasoning for not going online was the fact that people would become accustomed to it and that many would never return to corporate worship. He did not want to communicate falsely that online church is really the divine service. It was ironic to see a church that actually had the sacrament of the altar refuse to gather while the church that has no sacrament continue to gather in some form. May God grant repentance to the pastors who have chosen cowardice over courageous faithfulness, and thanks be to God for the many pastors with both wisdom and backbone. God bless you guys, and thanks for a great show. Sam, thank you for listening in South Carolina. Bill listens in San Marcos, Texas. He says, I vote for soundbite number one, as it is the closest I have heard to expressing the danger in our response to dealing with COVID by providing the worst, relying on online church. To have churches remain closed to in-person worship for months in the name of so-called health safety strikes an ominous and apostate chord. Especially as Lutherans, we know that worship involves the need for the sacrament. We, like the apostles, are to sup with our Lord in person, regardless of the danger from the world doing so. Sadly, the world and its so-called progress has made significant inroads at striking at the shared in-person, face-to-face worship handed down for centuries. I view COVID as just the latest test of our faithfulness as to whether we trust God to keep us versus the world's so-called wisdom on keeping us. We have a God who was willing to become a man with us in the flesh, bodily and in person. And with the mere threat of a virus, we sadly are largely unwilling to risk being with one another as a body of believers who worship him. We have submitted too easily to the spirit of our postmodern era and its technology, which provides the tools to live life on our terms and to do more and more things not face to face. We probably are the least bonded to one another generation in human history. No wonder Revelation 6:15 through 17 vividly describes people as hiding themselves in caves and calling upon the rocks and mountains to collapse on them. At least they feared the coming of the Lamb in judgment. Let us no longer hide ourselves in our caves in fear of a virus that we are largely helpless to control, short of complete isolation from one another. We can say a hearty thanks be to God that our Lord Jesus condescended to become a man despite all these dangerous face-to-face encounters of living life in this fallen world. Bill, thanks for listening in Texas.
Hi, this is Kurt from Fredonia. The soundbite of the week is very hard to vote on. We had four of them that were all very well qualified and had very qualified speakers. But the two I had in particular, they were very close to each other. Number four was Pastor Will Wheaton, and why Christians begin worship with psalms. I appreciate his explanation on the psalms and their importance in the Gottesdienst. Pastor Wheaton puts a good emphasis on the liturgy and connects it with the Old Testament, so I appreciated that. Also, number one was Heath Curtis and his Tales of Online Church. It was very compelling why online worship is not the way to go nowadays, and the problems with it is that people don't want to go to the divine service anymore. We also emphasize the importance on the sacraments in the divine service. And also, this is why we go to church, is for the fellowship. This is the thing that I think fellowship really means, is that we worship with one another and encourage one another in the worship. So out of both those, I believe Heath Curtis had the best one. Nowadays, we see people not going to church because of COVID and worshiping online. I believe this is the best one. Thank you.
And thank you for your vote. Mark in New Mexico says, all of your sound bites and the Longer Issues, Etc. program segments are very good and important this week, as usual. Thank you for having Mr. Klusendorf on to discuss the appalling statement by a Supreme Court justice questioning whether an argument has standing before the court when it sounds religious. If I could vote for two, it would be that one and Pastor Wheaton. Although the issue of abortion and the prospect of seeing the law concerning it returned to rightful lawmakers soon is important and current, I shall cast my vote for the timeless yet timely soundbite of Pastor Wheaton on why Christians begin worship singing. We do not merely sing because I'm happy, as one song lyric says. We also sing to lament in joy and in the sure and certain hope that we have in Christ. We sing because we are instructed and invited in Scripture to sing and given marvelous words and themes to sing in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I also enjoyed hearing Pastor Wheaton's excitement as he talks about the doctrine and practice of Christ's holy church. Thank you, and may the Lord be with you and bless all your work. Mark, thanks for listening there in New Mexico. And Pam says she's voting for soundbite number two. Every day I pray for my son. He has not turned away, but he is not actively attending or been a member of any church since he has been on his own. I often remind myself that God does indeed love him more than I do, more than I as a human being am capable of loving, and the Lord does hear my prayer. The winner this week is soundbite number one. It's Heath Curtis on two cautionary tales of online church.
So my buddy's at a big church in a pretty big town in a very heavily Lutheran area. They gained 24 members all in one big confirmation class from the ELCA church a couple blocks down the road. But it wasn't women's ordination that brought them to the Missouri Synod. It wasn't all the crazy homosexuality and transgenderism that's infected the ELCA. It was the fact that their local ELCA parish shut their doors for 55 weeks because of the pandemic. I think it just sent a meta message that church is not that important. We are more afraid of catching COVID than we are of not gathering for worship. And eventually that message, you know, actions speak louder than words, that got through to a lot of people. I know lots of our congregations have online stuff, and a lot of guys are very excited about their online stuff. And there's no doubt that the online stuff has been a blessing in many ways in many places. I don't want to discount that. On the other hand, boy, there is something important about keeping people in the habit of physically gathering. And there's something just literally more real about it. There's literally something more sacrificial about it. And I'll tell another anecdote from a buddy of mine who serves in my own local area. He said he was visiting one of his older gentlemen, you know, lifelong member. But he went over to visit him a few months ago. And the guy just looked at him and said, "Pastor, what are you going to do to ever get me back in church?" And he was kind of jesting. "This online church is awesome. You know, I sit on my couch. I pour myself a cup of coffee. I don't have to take a shower. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to leave the house." If I was at a congregation that was really relying on online church to serve my people who are still very COVID cautious, I would really be rethinking how I'm approaching this at this point. Because again and again and again, I see a real dark side to the online worship in terms of how do we get those people back to living an authentic Christian life in the flesh.
That's soundbite number one, the winner this week, Pastor Heath Curtis, two cautionary tales of online church. The LPR bundle package goes to Sarah in Wisconsin. Thanks to everybody who voted. Sarah, if you'll send us your mailing address and your shirt size to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the persecution of Christians in India with Dr. Victor Raj. We'll continue our series with Pastor Peter Bender on the St. Peter option. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Mary anointing Jesus in John chapter 12. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.